one more time, although this will not be the last time, to the book of Jonah. For 3 weeks or so, we've been on point one. Or part one. We haven't even got to point one yet. We've just been doing the introduction. You've heard three different introductions, which is pretty good, I think. You're going to hear another one. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the NIV it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh." Now this is the word of the Lord that came. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." And those of you who have been here, you heard me read it out of the Living Bible. It says the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Go to the great city of Nineveh. I forgot how to say Nineveh. "And give them the announcement from the Lord. I am going to destroy you, for your wickedness rises before me. It smells to the highest heavens." If their wickedness caused God to react that away, what about our wickedness today? That's a frightening thought if you think about it for a little while. The book of Jonah, as I said last week, I think it was, is one of the gems of literature. There's not another book in the Old Testament that is more fragrant with the breath of inspiration than is the book of Jonah. There's not another book in the Old or New Testament that's any more radiant with the light of divine love than the book of Jonah. It's a wonderful gospel in itself. The book of Jonah paints a picture for us. It's a picture of the heart and the love of a God that was willing to forgive and redeem a wicked and vile city. So God spoke to one of his prophets that day and sent him as an ambassador to that wicked city, that the city might be saved. That was the intent. Let's not lose sight of that. It paints a picture that the love of God is wider than the measure of a man's mind can fathom. It paints the picture that the heart of the eternal God is more wonderfully kind than man's mind can imagine. There's an essential thing here, that God spoke his word to Jonah. That word did come. It's an essential thing, because God does speak. He still speaks. He speaks to us. God does move upon us. God does call us for missions. God does command us. God does stir our hearts. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And now it comes at this very moment to you and me. And me as much as you. When God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, God gave him a map, a direction, showing Jonah the way that he should go. But Jonah looked for another place on that map. He didn't like the place that God had picked out for him, so he looked for his own place on that map, and it was in the opposite direction, a place as far away with no wicked, no unsaved, and no Gentile people. The very thought to Jonah that Nineveh might repent frightened him. He did not want for them to even have one chance. In his heart, in his mind, they were condemned. He did not want to see them repent. He ignored that in every man, there's that insatiable hunger, that unquenchable thirst, that none but God can satisfy. So Jonah has a map. And on his map, there's two cities that are circled. One was circled by God. The other was circled by him. There was Nineveh, the city which he would go. And if he would go, he would be in full fellowship with God. And God would go with him. And he would be within that full circle of the very will of God. But there was also Tarshish. It was the city at the end of a rebel's road, whose streets, even if he got there and walked them at all, he would walk alone without the fellowship of God, without the presence of God, whom he disobeyed. You're sitting here this morning. There's a good chance you've got a map. And there's probably two cities on it. There's one that God is pointing you toward, and there's one that you want to go to. No, I want to go to God's. Well, then you ought to be there by now. So it tells me you really don't want to go there. There's the Nineveh of obedience, the Tarshish of disobedience. Any place on that map that you put a pencil, except the place that God is telling you to go, is rebellion. There's only one place that you could go, and that's where God's pointing toward. You're going to Nineveh, or you're going to a Tarshish this morning. I do not claim to know where your Nineveh is or your Tarshish may lie. But I'll tell you this much about Nineveh. If you go there and walk its streets, you will do so step and step with God. His presence covering you. His hand guiding you. On the other hand, if you go to Tarshish, you will walk the street that's called My Way. And it's a city that has no Gethsemane, that has no cross, and no presence of God. I've seen too many try to walk in their Tarshish outside the will of God, paying no attention to what God desires. So I'm here to say this morning, and this is point one, check your direction. As we see in Jonah 1:1, the word of God came to Jonah. God calls particular people to particular places for particular purposes. Please don't forget that. Every one of you have been called to some place. Every one of you that are sitting in here, God has directed you and is directing you toward a place. It might not be the eventual place that you'll end up, but it's the place He wants you now. And I'll say one other thing. There's people in other churches that God has pointed to here, and they're refusing to come. They're hurting that church, and they're hurting this church, and they're hurting themselves, because they're walking a street that's called my way. Some people like the big steeple, few people, loud music, bright lights, get lost. And that's what they want. There's a particular purpose that's got your name on it. And God is directing you toward that particular purpose. In Jonah's case, God called him to Nineveh to preach against it. But when God called him, Jonah says, "Here am I, Lord, send somebody else. I'm on my way to Tarshish." God said, and Jonah said, God said, go, and Jonah said, no. You might sit here and hear that and say, man, that's scary. Yeah, it is. I've witnessed God send or call someone to a particular place, a church, a position, or whatever. Something that He had for them to do. Something that would cause blessing, both given and received. Only to have them say, "That's okay, God. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm doing okay. I don't even like kids, so don't send me over there." And God is urging, and we're saying no. I'll be happy to pray for them. You know, when you're in rebellion, God doesn't hear your prayers. You say, "Oh, yes, He does." The only prayer that He hears is, "Forgive me, oh God, and renew my heart." When God has asked you to do something and you say no, that is scary. Have you ever said no to God's will? We don't like to even think about it, do we? But chances are all of us have. I have. I've blown it. I've missed it. What is more important, do you think? A clock or a watch or a compass? You say, "Well, I like the watch because I want to know what time it is." Well, you could be on time in the wrong direction. Or you could even get there a little early, but if it's not where God wants you to go, It doesn't matter if you're early. I kind of like the compass, you know? Because it profits man nothing to be on time going in the wrong way. To be headed in the right direction, you and I are going to need, and this is point A personal compass. God has raised up another prophetic ministry. There was many of them there in that day. Do you know Amos? And there's the book of Amos in your Bible. Amos was one of Jonah's fellow prophets. God send Amos. God says, no, I got Amos going in another direction. I got him over here. Habakkuk, whichever way you want to pronounce it. He was during that same time period. Oh, God, send the guy with the funny name. Obadiah, the one that almost caused me to miss my license because I misspelled his name and I got him out of place. And when you get Obadiah out of place, that makes a bunch of other prophets out of place. And they marked them all wrong. But I made it. Maybe by the skin of my teeth. So you got the only pastor around that has skin on his teeth. Anyway. All of these were contemporaries of Jonah. God, you could send any of those to Nineveh. Why me? God did not direct them. He had other jobs for them. He was asking Jonah, and he was giving Jonah an opportunity of a lifetime. God's will was that he go there. Listen, God will never ask you to do something that does not have great blessings wrapped up with it. And the more difficult it is for you, the greater the blessing is that you'll receive. So Jonah, by saying no, was not only disobeying God, he was missing the great blessing that God had for him. God has placed each of us in our own personal space. Areas where we are agents of spiritual awakening. Secret agent man. But we're not supposed to be secret. We're just supposed to be agents of spiritual awakening. Every place we go, there ought to be joy. There ought to be peace. There ought to be the name of Jesus being lifted up. Every place we go, people need to be touched. That's what we've been called to do. So where's your compass pointing? Where are you going? Oh, I'm just trying to get through school. Yeah. We're all in a school, sort of. And we're all going through. But we have a job while we're there. He uses everybody. None of you are worthless. You say, well, I don't have any abilities. What? Everybody can do something. It might just be sweeping the floor. But sweep that floor for the glory of God. Not a speck of dust left. Hallelujah! Most any of us could clean toilets. So you're talking about that in church. Well, church has got some, and they need cleaning. And I used to clean them. And I would clean them for the glory of God. There's not going to be a speck on this thing. These crazy old sorry people. You can get some good prayer time in cleaning toilets, buddy. I'm telling you. Oh, Jesus, smite them. Throwing their hand towels on the floor. There's a wastebasket right there. Can't you hit it? Made me want to go in there and say, in the basket. See, y'all know secrets about me now, don't you? I still feel that way sometimes. Maybe it's about other areas, but still. You are in God's perfect will when you are in the place that you're needed the most. People ask me all the time, how do you know when you're in God's will? How do you know when you're in God's perfect will? How do you know? You'll know that you're in the perfect will of God when you're in the place you're needed the most. So all you have to do is find the place where you're needed the most. Plug in, because that's where God wants you. There are only two roads in obedience. One leads to Tarshish. The other heads to Nineveh. One leads to revival. The other leads, if you do not have revival, it leads to ruin. Sometimes God has to let you go your own way before you can see your error and repent. Sometimes you have to hit the bottom of the bucket. It's a shame. It's not God's perfect will that you do that. But sometimes He has to let you go toward Tarshish so that He can bring the storm, so that He can prepare the whale, so that He can get you to repent. Point B, if we're determined to move in the right direction, not only do we need a personal compass, but we need a pointed compass. If you've got a compass that's got a round pointer, how will you ever know if it's pointing in the right direction? So it has to be a pointed compass. It was as though God took out His map, circled Nineveh, gave it to Jonah. That specific city. Ancient city, founded by Nimrod. If you don't know who Nimrod was, go and look it up. Shortly after the confusion of tongues at the Tower of Babel, Nimrod founded a city, and that city was Nineveh. Do you know the customs and traditions of your Nineveh and its people? Because you should. Who started what you're gravitating toward? Where's it going to lead? You need to know that. Nineveh was also a city of wickedness in what is today known as Iraq. Its streets were 20 miles long. Its walls were 100 feet high. This megalopolis was the capital of Assyria, packed with more than 120,000 men, women, and children. Nineveh was a great city of iniquity, so much so that it stunk in God's nostrils. Jonah knew about their cruelty because its people were known for savagery. There's a lot of cruelty in our world too, isn't there? The awful effects of sin have seared the conscience of our culture so that men and women, boys and girls can sin today and not even care. If you can rebel against God and go in the opposite direction and never be bothered by it, guess what? You have no conscience. Conscience has been seared. We no longer are governed according to what's right and wrong, but now we're governed by what makes us money and what feels good. Those are the criteria. And there's nothing that is not accepted on the face of this planet except Christianity. It's the only thing that the world rejects totally. The creed of society and culture today is our God is self. We are our God. The things that amaze us then, things that used to cause us to cringe a few years ago, we find amusing or acceptable today. The things that embarrassed us then entertain us now. Our culture has sold its soul to selfishness and has a theme, if it feels good, do it. If you and I are going in the right direction, we must also have a purposeful compass. And I'll close with this thought. God called Jonah to cry out against Nineveh because of its sins. In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and cry out. Give this announcement from the Lord. I'm going to destroy you because your wickedness rises before me and it smells to highest heaven. Surely, God is calling more people to cry out the sins of our culture today. The 21st century excursion, that smooth sailing to Tarshish, is prospering today. God has a personal, pointed, and purposeful compass for each one of us. But so many of us are refusing it. Explorer William Perry and his crew were preparing to hike through an uncharted region. On the eve of their departure, they studied the stars and determined their exact coordinates. They marked it on a map exactly where they were, such and such a latitude, such and such a longitude. The next day, they began marching across the ice. All day long, they traveled, wind blowing against them, ice biting them. Freezing air burning their lungs. Finally, they could go no further and they stopped and made camp. And Perry took out his compass and studied the stars again to determine where they were. And they were stunned to find out that even though they had journeyed all day long in a northward direction, they were further south now than the day they began. And they discovered that they were on a giant ice floe that was moving south faster than they could go north. While they thought they were going in the right direction, they were actually slipping further and further away. Where are you headed today? What ground are you on? What direction are you traveling? Are you really headed for Nineveh, or are you going to Tarshish, your own little city? To move toward our Nineveh, we must check our compass. And that compass is found in the Word of God and found in the will of God. So, as the slide says, which direction are you headed? Where are you going? Too many times we don't stop to find out. We just take it for granted that we're doing good. I'm doing okay. When really we're going in the opposite direction and just don't realize it. Wouldn't it be a tragedy? Moments after you die, to discover I wasn't ready. I was headed in the wrong direction. You say, well, that wouldn't happen with me. Really? Have you checked your compass lately? Have you seriously prayed lately? Have you taken out the Word and read through its depths lately? Or are you just taking it for granted that you're going in the right direction? Which way are you headed? And why are you going there? If you're headed in a direction and you have no purpose, then why are you going? And who sent you? If God's not a part of that equation, then I'm sorry. You're not going in the right direction. And there is a lot of Christians, church attenders, they're going in the wrong direction. Some have not checked their compass in years. They figure they're okay. For your sake, I pray you are. But I plead with you to check. Bow your heads with me, would you please?